You found us. Welcome to the Hull Minster Podcast, a church in the centre of Hull. Your place to worship, enjoy, explore and to belong. If you'd like more information in how you can get involved, visit our website at www.hullminster.org.
As we're sitting, let's just pray together. Father, we give you thanks for your written word. And Lord, we ask now through the spoken word that you might speak to our hearts and our minds. Amen. Well, it's really good to be with you all this morning. If you've not come across me before, I am, Ken said earlier, called the Archdeacon of the East Riding. And if I worked for anybody else, I'd be the area manager for East Yorkshire. So basically that's what an archdeacon is. I work very, very closely with Bishop Allison, who's going to be with you this evening. And bishops do all the sort of public leadership for the church, and the archdeacons do a lot of the behind the scenes making it happen sort of stuff. So that's what I do. And quite a lot of what I do is support churches in their vacancies when vicars move on. So I'm here today not least to say thank you for all that is going on here, despite the fact that not only Neil has left, but Eve has also left at almost the same time. So you've suddenly lost two for the price of one. But we're really grateful for all that... what's your name? Bishop Frank. Bishop Frank is doing. I could see him, I know him, but his name for a moment just wasn't there at all. Anyway, in fact, and anybody else's name I can't remember, I'm really grateful for all that you're doing. And I'll move on very quickly with the sermon, so I've got some notes in front of me and I do know what I'm about to say. But quite seriously, it's a lot of extra stuff comes your way in a vacancy. And so we're really grateful for the wardens and the team here, not only preparing, as we'll talk about in a moment, for finding a new vicar, but for ensuring that the wonderful ministry that you have here at the Minster continues to flourish. So thank you for all of that. It was at a farewell service for a vicar who was leaving when an elderly lady came up to him and said, "Vicar, you know, the person that comes after you will never be as good as you were." "Oh, I'm sure that won't be the case," said the retiring vicar, though secretly delighted to hear her words. "Take my word for it," she sighed. "I've lived through six vicars here and each one's been worse than the one before them." Well, I don't know what you uttered to Neil when he left, but I'm sure many, many, many kind things were said to him, because I know just how dearly he was held and how much respect people here have quite rightly for him. And of course, when vicars leave on, and particularly when much-loved vicars like Neil move on, it leaves a big gap, doesn't it, in people's lives. Often people sort of talk to me about it. For some, it's almost like a sense of bereavement, that actually this person that's always been there, as it were, at the front of church, who often has been with you in particular significant moments, has gone. And you lose that person that you've sort of come to get used to always being there as a constant sort of presence in your lives. And if you're feeling like that, and if you still realise you haven't really adjusted to life without Neil, well, don't worry, because as I say, it's what a lot of people feel. And as with any sense of loss and bereavement, the most important thing to do is just to acknowledge that's how you feel, and that actually with time you will be able to work through it, and I'm sure you will. So you are at that strange time when Neil has moved on. As I say, Eve has also moved on. And there's that gap as you prepare for what next. And just so you know what the sort of process is, I know people have been talking here, I know there's been consultations with the congregation, but your PCC, your church council, currently is working really hard to bring together what's called a parish profile. And a parish profile is basically describing who you are as the church here, where you believe your future lies, and in the light of all that, the sort of gifts and strengths and qualities you sense your new vicar needs to have. And when that profile is all brought together, and I think they're hoping by the end of this sort of month-ish, they'll have that ready, then we'll be able to prepare an advert, we'll advertise, and hopefully we will find in due course the person that God is calling here to join you. It's hard to be precise about timescales, but that's the sort of process we're moving towards. So hopefully around about sort of December, January time, we might be interviewing folk for the new vicar here. And it's all about change, isn't it, when vicars come and vicars go, and it always stirs up lots of different emotions, no doubt, within you. Not dissimilar from that first reading we had from Joshua. That was a big point of change in his life and change in the life of the people of Israel. God says this in verse 2 in that reading, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." Moses was the big leader. He was the person who had led Israel out of Egypt. And now he has died, and they're having to get used to that adjustment of Joshua being called to take his place. And as we'll see in a moment or two, for Joshua that caused a whole range of different emotions and mixed feelings within him. And of course, for him and for the people of Israel, they had to realize that Joshua wasn't Moses. This was somebody new coming in to take the place of Moses, and they were going to have to adjust to all of the changes that that brought. So it's worth saying the obvious, that your new vicar won't be Neil. It's a really obvious thing to say, but it's worth saying it. You will have a different type of person leading your church. They'll have a different personality. They'll have a different character. They'll have a different upbringing. The things that make them what they are will be different from what made Neil what he is. They probably won't like trains. They might not ride a bike. They might even be a woman. I mean, you know, it's going to be different in the future, isn't it? And actually, it'll be different as well, because their approach to ministry, I suspect, will need to be different from that which Neil has given and brought. I don't know how many of you were here 10 years ago. I wasn't, but people that describe Holy Trinity as it was then describe an incredibly different church to what you are now. Neil's appointment 10 years ago was clearly inspired. He was absolutely the right shape for what Holy Trinity needed 10 years ago. And of course, in the last 10 years, you have changed massively, haven't you? In every possible way. And so therefore, the next vicar that you need won't be Neil-shaped. As Neil himself said, part of the reason for moving on was because he knew he had done what God had called him to do here. Neil was very open about the fact that actually the gifts that the vicar of the Minster needs were different gifts from what he had. The approach that the vicar of the Minster needs is a different approach to what Neil had. We thank God massively for Neil. He was just the right shape and God's choice for these last 10 years. But it will be a different type of approach. It will need to be different gifts, different strengths, so that in a further 10 years' time, we can again look back and say, wow, look how much the Minster has changed. You've moved massively over the last 10 years, as we trust finding God's choice that can lead you forward. So in 10 years' time, we can say, wow, just look at what has happened. So prepare for change, folks. Prepare for change. Because your new vicar will be God's choice, we trust, and they will be different to Neil. Of course, not everybody is completely comfortable with change, are they? Back in 1889, people were sceptical about the motor car. And in the Reader's Digest, they wrote, although its price will probably fall, it will never, of course, come into as common use as the bicycle. Some people struggle with change. But change, of course, is part of what we are. It's part of life. It's part of being human. It's part of being church. And we see in that reading with Joshua that he and the people of Israel faced all sorts of change and all sorts of different emotions as they came and approached that. We see in Joshua that there is fear, there is anxiety about change, as well as anticipation and expectation. Do you notice, I don't know if you recall the reading, but three times in that reading, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's very impressive. Be strong and courageous. Three times he says that. I'm going to quote verse 9 now. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is calling Joshua to something new. And as Joshua wrestles with that call, as he embraces the call of God upon him, he is anxious. He is afraid. He knows what it is to be fearful, because change brings fresh challenges, new opportunities. And so God assures him of his presence. He says, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. And he gives him two particular promises of why he can rest upon him, why he can be confident in God in going forward. Two promises that remain true for us today. The first one is God speaks of his constant presence with Joshua. In both verse 5 and verse 9, we see that message. I will never leave you nor forsake you, God says to Joshua. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in verse 9, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God wants Joshua to know he is not alone, and he never will be alone, as he follows God's call to lead the people of Israel. God is with him, and he doesn't leave us, and he doesn't forsake us. As Joshua looks to the future, as he embraces God's call, God wants him to know that he is not alone. Of course, that's true for us as individuals as much as it's true for us as churches. God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Whatever you are facing in your life individually, be encouraged. God is with you. Often in the New Testament, you may have noticed it when you've been reading through bits, there's verses where the writer describes something that is difficult, and then there's two words, but God. And usually he then goes on to speak of what God has done in Christ. There's a challenge, but God. And then there's a promise. That's what the presence of God means for us. We are not alone. It's not that God's presence is the ultimate insurance policy. Try everything else you can and ultimately remember that God is with you. It's completely the opposite. Go into life, live life individually and as a church, knowing God is present. But God, he makes the difference. And we see that in the second encouragement, that God's presence brings God's power. God had made all sorts of promises to Moses about what would happen for the people of Israel. And so God says to Joshua in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your feet. Joshua, he says, you have got a big call upon you. You're about to lead the people of Israel, but you are not on your own. I am with you and I will be at work in you. I will give you every place where you set your feet. I will fulfill all the promises that I have for you. I don't know if you've ever heard of the guy called William Carey. He lived many, many, many years ago in the 18th century, and he sensed God calling him to go to India. And a lot of people didn't actually support him in that. He was married, he had three young children, and his wife was pregnant with her fourth. And he put himself forward to various missionary societies saying, I feel God's calling me to India. And they looked at his family situation and probably quite wisely, it's the sort of thing you'd say is probably not now, William. You know, we don't know what his wife had to say about it all, which is interesting. That's lost in history. But we do know that many missionary societies turned him down. But he was convinced that God was calling him to India. And so he did allow his wife to have the fourth child. And then with his wife and four children, they went off to India. And the story is that thousands of lives were changed because of William Carey. People were converted. Many, many churches were established in India. And even now, churches can trace their history back to William Carey's ministry. He became known for this quote. He said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. We go in God's power. We serve with God's presence with us, actively at work in and through us. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, there was a children's song called "Have We Made Our God Too Small, Too Small?" Blank faces, clearly not. Anyway, it was a great little song, and I commend it to you. Have we made our God? No, I don't sing, so I won't sing it to you. But "Have we made our God too small, too small? Have we made our God too small?" is how it went on. And the conclusion has to be yes, we almost certainly have. We've sort of domesticated God, so he's not the King of Kings, the splendor of the King we sang about earlier, but often he's just sort of that extra bit of help that we might have when we need it. But actually, he is the King of Kings. He is the God of Gods, the Lord of Lords. And William Carey knew that, and so did Joshua. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Be strong, be courageous. Go forwards positively and hopefully. So I trust as you enter this next stage of your life, still working through all those different emotions, those different reactions, as Neil and Eve move on, the slight uncertainty about what is to come. As you go through this vacancy period, I know you haven't pressed the pause button on church life. The Minster is clearly still alive and well. So in this next few months, before a new vicar is even found or arrives, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Expect him to be at work in your individual lives and your life together. And as you look to this next 10 years or so, spreading out into the future, be strong and be courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you, and he will fulfill great things in and through you. Let's just pray together. Let's just give ourselves a moment to be quiet, a moment to maybe reflect on anything particularly that God seems to have said to you, to have stirred in your heart over these last few minutes, and in the silence just to respond to God. Loving God, thank you that you are present with us and you are powerful to work in and through us. So take us and use us for your glory, we ask. Amen.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to one of our sermons. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, then follow us on social media or visit our website, www.holminster.org.